Welcome to the High Value Sales Show of Eversprint.com. I'm Malcolm Louie, the managing member of Eversprint, and today we're speaking with Joseph Chaplik, the president of Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate, a multifamily brokerage firm in Oregon, Washington, and Arizona. Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Thank you for having me.
Joseph, you grew your company's revenue from $1.4 million in 2014 to $2.2 million in 2017, a 61% increase. And in 2018, you hit around $2 million as well. Before we talk about how you grew your company so fast, can you briefly share what your company does beyond my quick intro and how your company differs from the competition?
Yes, we're actually an apartment brokerage firm in three states, Oregon, Washington, and Arizona, which specializes in the private capital side of the multifamily industry. So we're brokering apartments in those three states that are BC class. And when I say BC class, that's products that have been around 40s, 50s, 60s, 1970s, 80s built. Some of it has been refurbished. Some of it has original parts, countertops, cabinets. Some have been cleaned up with plumbing, electrical, roofing, windows. But really, it's the existing product between anything from, we say it a duplex, really, but 5+ units is commercial. So really, you know, a multifamily product of 5 units to 100 units is the bulk of the sales that we handle on a yearly basis.
And how would you say you differ from the competition, from the other companies out there who are doing similar sorts of multifamily brokerage?
Well, I started the company in 2004, 2005. And one of our primary pillars that we call them, there's three pillars, and it's the professionalism, the integrity, and the service. And I brought that to the market back in 2005 when I felt there was a void in the marketplace. And I left a telecommunications company as a executive vice president to start this business because I saw that void in the apartment market brokerage industry. And since then, I felt like I've lifted up the bar of expectations for most companies. A lot of my competitors have followed suit in the branding that we have done. And I feel that you're as good as your spoken word and your actions behind it. And when I talk about those three pillars, professionalism, integrity, and service, you can say you have it, but until you deliver it, you don't. And we've been delivering it strong for over 15 years.
Fantastic. Now, can you share your thoughts behind having offices in Oregon, Washington, and Arizona? Why those three states?
Well, I was living in Portland, Oregon when we started the business. And I realized that, you know, you have to be in the state of Washington if you're in Portland, Oregon, because it's right across the river. And so we have those licenses for those two states. We have an office in Vancouver, Washington. Our main headquarters is really Portland, Oregon, where we started the company. And about 9 years ago, I decided to expand into the Arizona market. And if you remember 9 years ago, we were having a mortgage meltdown in the real estate industry. And so Phoenix was getting hit pretty hard in the real estate world, including the multifamily product. And there was only a few select cities that actually had a pretty good hit to the valuations of the apartments, and Phoenix was one of them. And so when I saw that opportunity, I created an office in Phoenix, really in Scottsdale, and started to expand the business. And since then, we're in Tucson as well, covering the whole state of Arizona. But we've seen the uptick of the market in Phoenix. And right now you're seeing a pretty good correlation between the three states. When we're working with clients that are in one of the states, let's say Oregon, and they have a lot of capital, they have a lot of equity in their buildings, and they want to continue to grow their portfolio, or they want to sell and reinvest into other opportunities, we now can capture that client, keep them with us as a firm, and have his options or their options into three different states. And we can get into, you know, the Tucson market, the Phoenix market for them, and help maximize their investment. And that's what we do. We really are brokers with a financial understanding to the apartment market to help them build wealth, help them build their portfolio, their equity piece, their cash flow, their tax benefits. And we can keep those customers with us and make them clients for life.
Now, do you have people in each of those markets right now?
You know, we do. We have a high level of experienced brokers in the Portland, Oregon market. There's five of us with two support in that market, and that covers most of our you know, the state of Oregon. Most of the sales, of course, are in Portland, Oregon. As far as the Vancouver office, it's a satellite office down the street, you know, just on the other side of the river. That gets us into the Washington market. And then in Arizona, we have a office in Scottsdale, which is our main headquartered Arizona location with three brokers and one support. And then we're have an executive office down in Tucson for when we go down into that market and handle those sales. So again, experienced brokers. Most of the guys that have been with us have been over 10 years. We do a high level of sales volume. I think in the last few years that you mentioned, you know, in sales revenue, but the real numbers that we look for are the number of buildings. And we've transacted about 55 to 60 buildings a year, with the high point being around 70, 75 buildings a few years back. So we count the volume in transactions in the buildings. And if you look at transaction volume, a lot of times, I would say maybe a third of the transactions, we're representing both parties as a company because of our experienced brokers. So now you're looking at over 100 clients a year that we're working with.
So why did you decide to focus on the 5 to 100 units per apartment market?
Well, that's really the private capital side. That's going to be your owners that have, you know, a core business for something outside the apartment market for their career, and then they have passive investments working for them with the apartments. That's the mom and pop shop, we call it, that own the building and manage it. They're there every day. That's their income stream. And then you have the people that own a good sized portfolio of apartments. Maybe they have professional management. Maybe they have their own management company. And they have a pretty good interest in it, and they're, again, working with us. So the private side is a little different than the other side, being institutional, where you have more corporate money moving. The decision makers are buying and selling buildings that really aren't their money. It's their corporation's money, and they're the decision maker for that. They're not the actual decision maker of their own money. And so when you're dealing with the private capital side, our clients have their money that we're helping them invest. They're the sole decision maker of their money, and that's the private side. So it's about 80% of the sales. So I'd rather be in the business where there's 80% of the volume moving through the multifamily arena than maybe 15, 20% of it. So again, we count the number of transactions. We're here to really serve the client, help them grow their portfolio, help them get their accomplished goals of what they want to get out of the apartment market, whether it's passive income, tax benefits, cash flow, or just building that equity up over time with the principal pay down and the separation of the new value over time when rents increase and the value goes up.
And what's the thinking behind going after the B and C class apartments as opposed to the A class?
Well, one, there's more volume, like I said, and two, there's, you know, we're dealing with a different type of owner. It's that private, personal side to the business. Again, we're helping the clients move their money and build their equity and build their portfolio for their future, their growth, their family, and that's really what we strive on: helping individuals invest wisely in the apartments to get the best return, find the best product, and to have a portfolio of growth over time. And so a lot of our clients that we've worked with over the last 15 years have done repeat business with us. You know, the word of mouth, the reputation that we have of people seeking us out to help them either sell or buy a property in those three states is quite high. And it's because we take that extra care to understand the investment side to this. It's not working with our own goals in running, you know, the decisions that we want to do that's best for us. We're really striving to parallel ourselves with our clients' goals and make the best decisions that they need for themselves. So we put them first.
Right. Now, in regards to how you grew your business so fast, 1.4 million in 2014 and then 2 million in 2018, what were the drivers behind that?
Well, I'll even go one step further, Malcolm. In 2005, when we started, I think our revenue was like 250,000. So we've come a long way in this commission-only business. However, I think the drivers behind it is, you know, we understand the apartment brokerage side to this business more than most brokers out there. And it's really the investment income approach to the financing of these deals. You know, when you purchase a building, you can pay all cash for it, but it's not the best decision if you're looking to grow the investment with a return. We work on something called four engines. That's what we call them. The four engines of wealth building in the apartment market is cash flow, tax benefits, principal pay down, and appreciation of the asset. So when we're working with these clients and we're helping them build that four engines of success, it helps us grow as a company because we're building more clients every year. We're doing more transactions. And a lot of it, again, it goes back to those three pillars of our foundation. We're professional, we're ethical, and we're providing a customer service above what most companies provide. And I'll give you an example on that. We provide something called the property clinic. And so even after a sale, we're working with our clients, the owners of these buildings, to make sure that they're managing the asset properly. Now, we have a long list of deep resources as a company. And so if they need a new management company, we know everybody in town. If they need new roofers or contractors or an insurance company, we have that long list of people in this business that can help them. And this is at no cost to the client. So we stay connected. We'll help review their statements if needed, when needed. And we'll continuously check in with them to see how the building's performing. And if they're looking to sell that property as a, you know, an investment down the road, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, then we're helping them a year or two before that to really make sure that property's running well. And I'll give you an example. This is just a vehicle in time. You're going to own in a property, an apartment building. It's going to be the bus going down the road. You're going to be on that bus for 3, 4, maybe 5 years, maybe six. And then you can get off that bus, move that equity into a bigger, larger asset, and then go down that road again in a new bus for another 4 or 5 years. That's the strategy that we implement as a company. This is how we help people build their wealth. And really, we take the emotions out of it. And so a lot has come to that conclusion of our success, which is, you know, we're experienced brokers. We do a high level of sales. So we have the experience behind that with knowing the buildings, not just doing one or two large transactions and beating our chest that we're the big players. We do a high level of buildings. So when we're selling 50, 60, 70 buildings a year, having over 100 client transactions on some of those both sides transactions, we're building that 100 times over every year. And then when you look at the pillars of our foundation and the four engines of building wealth, we capture those clients, they stay with us, we continue to do more transactions every year, and we continue to have that success that we have. So it's a hard process because not everybody can run a business and not everybody can get up every morning and really go swinging for the fences every day, but we hit ground balls every day. That's right. What we do.
Yeah,
and those ground balls move the players around the field and we score a lot of runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching the movie Moneyball, right? The key statistic was getting is the on-base percentage. That's all that mattered.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. So number one driver, understanding the apartment investment side of things. And you covered a lot of details during your discussion of that. Are there drivers 2 and 3 embedded in that conversation we just had, or are there other drivers that you haven't talked about that fueled your growth?
Well, you know, the market conditions actually play into that as well. So that's a good question. I mean, we can talk about my company, you know, for a long duration, but let's talk about the market for a second. Market conditions are always changing. The cap rate is the percentage of return that someone wants to get if they paid all cash, but a lot of people finance the properties. And so they get a cash on cash return after they service the debt. And you know, people are moving money into the hotter neighborhoods, the hotter areas. And so in Portland, Oregon, for example, in the late 2000s, early 2010, 12, there was a lot of properties that were being sold and purchased as rehab opportunities. So people were putting in new vinyl windows, new roofing, insulation, low flow toilets. And so that kind of rippled through the town. And a lot of people were trying to find that because we call it value add, and they were making a lot of opportunities to gain more equity in the building once they cleaned it up. Of course, rents will continue to climb as well once you have a better product. That's happened in Phoenix, mostly from 2012 on, because in 2010, 2009, I would say it was the low years of Phoenix valuations. And so that timing came around and people moved on the Phoenix market. And right now I'm seeing the Tucson market in those early years of being cleaned up, maybe some value add or rehab opportunities are popping all over the city. But again, you also have neighborhoods that get cleaned up. And so when those properties get sold and those neighborhoods get cleaned up, that ripple effect goes a little bit further out. And now the lower end of the market, where maybe it's not as desirable to move into for maybe location or buildings, start to have a lot more activity because now the investors are looking for those for value add opportunities. And again, it just continues to ripple out. So the timing of the market, where the pricing points are, where the rents are, because this is the income approach to the financing of the valuation of these deals, all play into this. And so, you know, we're in three states, we're regional size, and we can help move around. I remember when Salem, Oregon was a very inexpensive market to invest in, and now that became a very high priced market. Eugene, Oregon, which is where the University of Oregon is, that has always been a high priced marketplace. Portland, you know, the worst neighborhoods in Portland are higher than most markets in Arizona. So you see a lot of this happening where the timing, the market conditions, the locations, and then again, where the buyers and sellers are. And I always like to say this, Malcolm, it doesn't really matter which way the wind blows. Apartment brokers will always be needed because someone's always selling for a reason and someone's always buying. And that will ride through all the conditions of the marketplace, high and low.
Right. Yeah, people's needs change, right? So they will buy and sell to adjust for that. Now, do you find that the Oregon, Washington, Arizona markets are decoupled enough that when one market slows down, another market can be picking up and your clients, your investors can easily find opportunities in the other markets you serve?
You know, yes and no. We do have a good correlation, a good pipeline between the states and inner office workings. I've stayed out of California for a few reasons. California is overpriced, and we do get a lot of buyers from California moving into these markets, all three of them. And I'm sure they're moving into other states as well. But, you know, it's that trend. People are selling high in overpriced markets. You know, if we're talking just West Coast, it's California. And they're moving to markets around the west or central side of the United States. And so I've seen Las Vegas explode in values. I've seen, you know, Boise, Idaho is getting larger. That's one of our future markets. I've watched the Phoenix, the Portland, the Salems, the small markets, the Tucson's. I've seen Albuquerque increase a little bit. So Denver, Colorado has exploded. You know, so we're not in some of these markets, but we will be. And I think you're just seeing people move their money to smarter investments wherever the city is, if it makes sense. But it helps us when we have a presence in these markets because, again, we're offering more solutions to the client as a firm. We become a full stop, you know, one shop. Here you go. We can help you with all your investment needs on those apartment markets. And that's, you know, what we've strived for. Although we're not in the third party side of like doing the financing or doing the management or the construction or the demo or the rehab, we do have those resources through our A list of people that we've worked with over time. So we can help them with a lot of this. And of course, our specialty is the apartment brokerage. And that's what we focus on daily. And that's what we continue to grow.
Your clients, your investors, they typically just buy the units and then farm out the management to another firm?
Yeah, it's kind of all the above in the private side of this business, you know, the private capital side. Some people manage them themselves. Some people have their own team of people that will manage their own properties. Some people take the third-party management professionals that are in each market and interview them and hire the best one for the building. So right. it's kind of a mixed bag. This is an imperfect market. The way one person owns and manages a building is different from the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go forward, you know, every building that we've sold, there's always been a different strategy in terms of just, you know, slightly how they've managed it or operate the income and the expenses.
Right.
And so it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yep. So your investors may potentially be, have a willingness to travel between Oregon, Washington and Arizona.
We have a lot of out-of-state clients in every market we're in. And again, it's the one common factor is once they're in the apartment brokerage or the apartment investment where they own the building and they're in the apartment game, they usually stay in it for a long time. And the reason is they avoid capital gains. So they do 1031 exchanges with forwarding their additional equity into larger buildings. And you continue to do that into a bigger, better, faster building. And so we've kept a lot of clients. That's the one commonality is once you're in the business, you're going to stay in the business. And I tell that to my first time investors too. You know, we get a lot of people that reach out to us that have $100,000, $200,000 and they haven't owned an apartment before and they're interested in getting into the investment because it's the hottest thing out there as everybody's been talking about it since 2010, 2012 with the real estate crisis. The apartment market's always been the darling. So everybody's getting into it now. I get those phone calls. I meet with the clients and we'll help the person that has 100, 150,000. They may be in a smaller building, but at least they're in the game. They're playing the game and they're building their wealth. And so we love helping the first time apartment investor. We do tell them, you know, this is a long-term play. You're going to have highs and lows. You're going to ride out the year. You're going to look at this as an annual return, not monthly. Because you're going to have a bad month here and there with the building, and then you're going to have good months. So we got to look at it as an annual thing. And when we start helping clients, you know, a quick example, I had a first-time investor spend, well, he had more than $250,000, but he only decided to spend $250,000 on an apartment. And in the last 3 years, he has thanked me where this has been the best return he's ever had, beat the stock market, beat everything else he was playing, and really wished he spent more than 250 as a down payment because he did have it to buy a larger building because the returns would have been greater, you know, in terms of dollar amount.
Well, there are always future transactions that he can participate in.
Oh, he's going to continue on and continue to build that portfolio. And again, wherever you enter into the apartment market, it doesn't matter if you're in a 10 unit or a 100 unit. You're in the process of building wealth, creating that investment, having some cash flow. And then we work on the goals that they want. Some people want to retire in 10 years. Some people want to have their college for their children paid for. Some people want to have that extra passive income. And so we help them meet their goals and we help them exceed those. And we're very conservative on our numbers. We're very conservative on our projections. We're very conservative on how we go to market with our properties. And helping buyers buy buildings. And when you go forward 4 or 5 years, you know, we're always, always better than what we projected. And that's what we'd rather do is overperform and underpromise. And these clients have seen that since we've been in business 15 years. You know, we've made quite a few millionaires out there in just equity.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Looking forward a little bit, 2019. What are your revenue targets?
You know, 2019, we're moving pretty quickly through the year. We're looking to at least break $80 million in sales volume and have over $2.5 million of revenue. I feel we can achieve that this year. We're tracking about those numbers right now for the first quarter. I would like to hire another one or two brokers in the Arizona market, one more in Washington and one more in Oregon. I don't hire a ton of people. Typically, this is a tough industry to get into. Yes, you can make a lot of, you know, income in this position and build a career, but it is commission only, and you do have to go out and hunt every day. So the person that fits this profile for this type of industry for a career is someone that has a few years of maybe sales experience or at least business experience. It's somewhat of a mid-level career position. It's not an entry level. It's a little bit harder to start out in as an entry level. This is really mid-level career. So someone needs to be able to understand how to manage their time best, how to structure and organize their day. Yeah, we'll help them with our training and help them every day. But you really got to have an understanding of, you know, some business experience to get into this. And so we're looking to hire 2 to 3 people in our markets. I'd like to expand a little into maybe the Colorado market. And I'll give you another thing that we did. We expanded our reach through a owner independently franchised system where if a broker is in the Denver market and he wants to have his own firm, he can have a Joseph Bernard branch connected to all the other branches and be an independent owner of that location. And I can expand quicker that way with that type of business model, because it's what it's going to do is it's going to allow people to have their own company, the independent ownership, and then still have our structure, our company platform to continue to build their success.
So this would be a franchise model, or?
It is a franchise model, but we already have all the licensing for it. We've already filed everything and we're set up for it. And so what it allows me to do is, again, it's a franchise model. It allows people to have the Joseph Bernard name, have their own independent ownership, but still have our corporate model for success.
Right. Yep. You have the systems and processes that work, right? No need to figure it out on your own.
That's right. And then it also has the regional size that will continue to grow, and eventually, hopefully, we're nationwide in the country.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Now, what would you say is the biggest obstacle to get from 2 million in 2018 to over 2.5 million in 2019? Is it the hiring that you mentioned, or is it something else?
You know, it's really just having everybody hit on all cylinders. There's a double-edged sword to this business. You can have a really good year as a individual broker, real estate agent, you know, in this business where you make $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, and maybe you don't need that much to live on. So, you know, your next year could be a little less because you really didn't push yourself as hard because you're financially stable. And so, you know, fear and greed are the two things that motivate people. When you're driving on all cylinders as a company, and all my sales associates, all my brokers, real estate brokers, and they're different names in each state. So I'll throw these names out loosely. You know, Phoenix, we're called associates. Oregon, we're called brokers. And then, of course, I'm the managing broker, principal broker. So when I have all my real estate brokers out there making those contacts, hitting their marks every year with their achievement of what their successes are looking like every year, we have a good year collectively. You know, all boats rise in a high tide. So to hit 2.5 with the number of folks we have right now, we all need to hit our marks. And I feel like we will, because we're tracking that way right now.
What can you do to help them hit their marks?
Well, continue to do what I do every day, which is, you know, wear 100 hats and, you know, keep promoting the business. Keep working hard as a leader to help them with what they need on a daily basis, having a great support team that I have in place and supporting them to always be there for my folks to get their, you know, contracts written, help them with what they need on some of the marketing, help them with sold comps, what we pull together, really work as a team. And we have a high level of synergy as a company, very, very trustworthy folks. We never break the honor system. And we have kind of, you know, although we have closed door offices so everybody can focus and be, individual within their main structure of their office, because I don't believe in the open floor model, because it's just too much going on and you get distracted. You can't make phone calls and think when you're talking with clients. And we do have an open wall system, I like to say, virtually, where we do share a lot of our information when talking with folks, working with buyers or sellers. We do share that within the office, so everybody has an opportunity to come together and help and complete those sales. Because we have such a high volume of transactions and such a high volume of clients, that, like I said, a third of our transactions are coming from inside our company because we have, you know, a strong core of experienced brokers talking with a lot of people. And we usually go to the market pretty quickly on transactions unless the specific client wants us to hold back a little bit. So even though we're moving fast with our marketing sales, we just have opportunities always at our footsteps as a, I guess, experienced company, 15 years in business with high level of, you know, seniority as brokers in the market. So we're working with a lot of people.
Right. So how will you track that people are driving in all cylinders? Are there particular metrics that you're looking at?
You know, I keep a master log of all our listings, all our sale pendings, and all our closed transactions. And then that log goes into detail per person. And so I do weekly calls with everybody with my three offices. Again, I create a good synergy amongst the offices with how we work together and how we share leads. So it's rewarding for both sides of the transaction. If someone's going to give up a client for another state, which they're not licensed in, we got to be able to have the referral program in place. But we also have, you know, a high level of communications every day. You know, I'm active, you know, I'm in the office 7 a.m. A lot of times I leave 5:30, 6. And we're here presently working, making those phone calls, having our metrics of our weekly to do without giving you all my company secrets. But, you know, we just run it as a business. I came from a Fortune 50 company when I learned how to be a manager in sales. I worked for Sprint in the 90s selling long distance to businesses. I probably had over 60 to 70 trainings as a sales representative and a regional manager of a Los Angeles branch. And so, you know, I have a lot of these matrix in place just as a business person. And so I've experienced that over my career, and I've brought that to this company. So I like to say we're a small business, but we're really operating at a Fortune 500 level.
Right. Fantastic. How about in terms of marketing and sales? You talked a little bit about how you help your brokers with marketing. How are you doing that?
You know, the marketing's key. You could spend a lot of money in advertisement. And we just, again, we put a matrix together on a checklist of items that we need to do for every sale that we bring in, for every closing of the sale. You know, I have the support girls that make up our postcards, makes up the flyers, makes up the closings, we call it, of the key items of the property that people need to have. So, you know, we're linked with a lot of the third party resources that we pay for on the real estate service side. And so, you know, we track everything, not just our closed deals. We track the market. We track, you know, what's happening in every 1 mile, 2 mile radius of every property that we're participating with, if we're selling it or buying it. And we know the rents. We know the rent comps for the neighborhood. We know that two bedrooms rent for X and one bedroom's rent for X. And so, again, we're bringing a full data of knowledge to our clients when we're working with them. And a lot of that comes through my support folks that really are focused on supporting us and following our matrix, our checklist, our guidelines that we put in per position that we have in the company. And through, you know, that collaboration of everybody working together and having that synergy, we strive. We strive to exceed our numbers, and we strive to have a successful career for everyone.
So for the postcards and the flyers that you mentioned, from a marketing perspective, what's the objective of those? Is it to find buildings owners who are keen on selling, or find private investors who are looking to invest? You know, what's the objective of your marketing?
Again, all of the above. We used to do quite a bit of advertisement when we started, just name brand recognition. We do have that reputation now for being a solid firm that can help clients selling and buying apartments. But again, it's very basic, Malcolm, when you look at this business. You own a property, something sells down the street. You want to know about it. You want to know what it sold for, maybe what the rents were, what the condition was. We reach out to all those owners around every property that we sell. And whether it's a phone call, a postcard, you know, an email, we built quite a large database. And so not only are we doing the brokerage side, we're also a key company for market data. You know, we're showing people what's going on in the marketplace. Again, it's I have brokers do the brokerage work. I have my support team do the support work. And collectively, we succeed and we work hard every day.
Right. Now, I took a look at your online profile, your company's online profile, and I didn't see a whole lot of pay-per-click activity or SEO activity. What's your thought on that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a marketing company that handles my website, and we actually are constantly working on the SEO behind the scenes. And I believe we're in the first page, if not the first five spots in most markets on Google search or on a multifamily search. Now, that's always changing. And the more we do in transactions, the more obviously that SEO works. But, you know, if you go to the property page on our website, you'll see in Oregon, we have quite a bit. In Washington, not as much because it's just not a large activity. Vancouver, Washington just doesn't have the activity like a Portland does. But we'll grow. The Arizona page, we have quite a bit out there. And then if you go to the sold page, we put everything that we sold on our website. So from day one to current, every property that we transacted is on there, whether we were the buyer or the selling side of the transaction. And so we're continuously growing that. We do have a blog that we post most of our updates on. We do have a Facebook page. Everyone has LinkedIn. And if you want to email one of us, you can find us right there on our website. I really don't like the companies that have a website that you just can't find who works there. And you can't find the broker. And if you're trying to find the employee, you got to type in their last name. But if you're trying to find somebody, you don't know who they are. It's a tough time trying to find them. So we put everybody up on our website. We show everybody's email and you can easily contact us if you have questions. And then we also have a couple of links on our website that you can actually request a market survey. If you own a property, if you're interested in property, you can request a callback. You can request a free rent survey. If you're in the market, you want to know what the rents are. If you want to know what's happening in the neighborhoods for, you know, the size of units, you fill out the form on our website and you'll get a call back within a couple hours, if not sooner.
Yeah. To your point about websites not being useful, it drives me nuts when you look at a restaurant website, for example, and you want to find their location, you want to call them, you want to see what their menu is, and they make it so hard. It's like, come on, man. That's what people use their website for.
Well, exactly. And for you know, some of these global companies, I get it, they have a ton of employment, you know, employees, and it's hard to list everybody, but there's got to be a simpler form. And in the real estate market with what we do, you know, we're a small company, and there's a lot of small companies in this business. They're either, you know, a division of a large company, but they're just a multifamily. So there's a lot of ways you can filter down to find the people that you want to. And it seems like it's the larger the company, the harder it is to find somebody. And you don't really know anything about their leadership or who they are. Some do better than others, but I've been on plenty of real estate websites and it's so difficult to find the people you're looking for. And again, this comes from my training in the past. You know, we respond quickly to people. If you're going to reach out to us and leave us a voicemail or an email or click on our surveys to get some feedback, we're going to respond and we're going to do it within a day period, you know, 24 hours, if not sooner, same day.
Right. Yeah. No one likes to wait when they have a question, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So. Three last questions for you. Okay. If Joseph Bernard were to have a billboard somewhere along a freeway that's moving, what would be the message? And the message, keep in mind, should be fairly short because people only have 6 seconds before they drive by the billboard.
Well, we're probably working with a small sliver of the population that own apartments, so we're not really marketing to everybody out there. But if you are in the apartment business and you did see the billboard, I think the quick drive-by would say, our company name, but you know, we use a tagline that's pretty simple: a professional approach to apartment investing. And I think that spells it out. If you're going to do some apartment investing, whether you're already in the business or you're not, and you want a professional approach to it, you call us. We'll help you above and beyond what you've probably seen in the past. And I've heard people say that before. I've heard other, you know, apartment brokers in the industry say, you know, you're one of the sharper guys I've met, you know. And so when you're in these markets and you're competing and you're working with clients. And again, it's the apartment niche. You know, we're dealing with those folks that are in the apartments. I think the tagline says it best, the professional approach to apartment investing.
Yeah, it's a good one. And two last questions for you. Who are your ideal clients, either on the buying side or the selling side? And what's the best way for them to get in touch with your team?
You know, the best clients are the ones that, well, again, in the apartment market, it's the people that have the apartments. You know, they're already in the business. We're a niche market. So if you own apartments, you probably know who we are. And so the best clients are the ones that are open to understanding how to maybe maximize their wealth. And again, it's such a broad spectrum. We have some folks that really don't know too much about the apartments. Maybe they bought something and they're just not getting the best returns, or they've had it for 15 years and it's paid off and they think they're doing great. And they are, you know, they're doing well, but there's so much more that they could be getting. And so the clients that are in the apartments that want to maybe know what's going on in the marketplace and be open to learning maybe something that they don't know about the apartment investing, that's a good client. And then the other best client is the ones that have heard something about the apartments, have some money on the sidelines, and are interested. So they reach out to us and they want to learn. And so we take a great pride of helping our clients, whether it's their experienced investors or the first time. We're there to help them every step of the way.
All right. And that's the best way for them to contact you and your team.
Well, the website is going to be the best contact because it has so much data on there on how to reach us. It's josephbernard.net. Just how it sounds, really the name Joseph and then Bernard, BERNARD.net. We do have a toll-free number if anybody did want to reach that, because we have multiple locations. The toll-free number is very easy to remember, 866-546-9390. And again, that's just the toll-free number that will ring into our headquarters, and then we can route the call depending on which market they're in. And that's why we have a toll-free number.
Joseph, it's been awesome having you on my show today. I really enjoyed hearing how you grew your company so fast.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate being a guest on your show, and thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Joseph Chaplik, the president of Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate, about his company's rapid growth. For interviews with other fast-growing, high-value sales companies, or to learn how we can accelerate your firm's high-value sales through automation, visit eversprint.com.